Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that we have together. We thank you for the word that you have given us. We ask, Father, that you will help us to understand. We ask for ears to hear, eyes to see, that you would impart to us the words that you have given London. I'd bless her in what she has to present to you, that you indeed would be lifted up, and that we would become, even as Jesus said, that we would become one with you, one with Jesus, and one with one another. I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to look today about becoming a resting place for the Holy Spirit. We talked last week about abiding in Him and resting in Him, but we also need to be a resting place for the Holy Spirit. He is such a gentleman, and when you have, if there's any like anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, if you have any wrong beliefs about the Holy Spirit or about God, or all those things will kind of, if your will isn't engaged with welcoming Him, every place that there's resistance, He'll be sensitive to that, because He won't go against your will. He won't force Himself on you. So that's why we just want to make sure our will in every area as much as possible, to because we're complicated people. So with everything that we are, we want to make sure that our will is engaged, aligned up with the Holy Spirit, so that He feels welcome. He feels like He's... He'll meet you with the depth that you want, as much as you want oneness with the Lord, much as you want that unity. When we are able to stop fighting and get selfishness out of the way and start aligning our heart with Him, give up control and... needing to assert our own will, when we can give up our own will and allow Him to partner with us, a unity happens, and the depth of that is just goes deeper and deeper and deeper, because we're a process of letting that go. So we're going to talk about that today. In Isaiah 11, 1 through 5, this is talking, as I spoke last week, this is talking about the Holy, about Jesus. It's predicted about 700 years before Christ actually came. And says, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, which is David's father. A branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Holy Spirit will rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. Righteousness and faithfulness are character qualities that we need to become. We need to become faithful, need to become righteous, pursuing those mindsets, because that's what they are, pursuing the mindset of righteousness and the heart, getting the heart and mind to line up in righteousness, which is a right wiseness with the Lord, and to pursue faithfulness, to determine that that we are going to dedicate our heart and life to being faithful to the Lord. We often question his faithfulness to us, but we're the ones that are tripping up there. We need to be faithful to him and faithful in pursuing. You know, if you have trouble in those areas, like being faithful to God, being faithful, not in the doing, but being faithful to press in to love him, to press into relationship, to be faithful to those things that are closest to his heart, which is relationship with you. When you have trouble with that, you know, even that originates with the Lord, because love originates with him. He is love, and he created us out of love. And so if you feel like you lack faithfulness, that's an area where you need to ask him, help me to be more faithful to you. I need that. And so sometimes we think that we have to drum that up, you know, and well, there is we are trained by discipline. There is place for that. But also the Lord will help us. Our helper will help us in that place. So he'll give us more of what we desire when it lines up with his desires. And so that being faithful to him is one of those. Being righteous is another one. So I encourage, you know, I do that a lot. God, you know, make me a desperate woman. Give me a desperation. Humble me. You know, I ask for those things. And he is faithful to do that in you. Number one there says, as we follow Christ Jesus, our goal is to become like him to the extent that truly it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that's in Galatians 2:20. Then we too will bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Jesus perfectly modeled for us how to do relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. In order to bear fruit consistently, we must learn to walk in unity with the Holy Spirit becoming a resting place. I love this scripture in Isaiah. I read it often, and I go there, and I meditate on it. I look up the words in other script, I'll cross-reference, and get into the finding those scriptures in other places where it talks about strength or rest or those kinds of things. But this particular passage is turning it, instead of us being that way towards the Lord, this is the Lord resting, his Holy Spirit resting on us. And we want to encourage that. So the heart position, it's a position of the heart, and how we can position our heart to welcome that. We can't get enough, too much of the Holy Spirit. So we want to move in a way that draws him to us, that attracts him. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Jesus bore fruit, abundant fruit, because of the Holy Spirit resting on him. He said over and over, I can do nothing of my own, only what I hear and see the Father doing. And it was because of the Holy Spirit resting on Jesus that he bore fruit. He came and he was a human just like us, without sin, but in every other way, just like us. And he chose not to sin. He had the choice. So even it's not like he didn't have that temptation or was not able to make that choice, and he chose not to sin. But he, because of the Holy Spirit resting on him, he bore fruit. So we can do the same. We have the same, and that's what we want, because that fruit glorifies the Lord. It's who he is. It's his character. The fruit of the Spirit is God's character. It's just expressions of his character. And we want to be, since we're one with him, we can express that same character. And that character is what restores and heals, comforts others in the body. So we're going to take these one by one. The first one is the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The way we position our heart in our attitude and responses towards the Lord is crucial to our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We will either draw him to us or we will shut him out. We must learn to cultivate character traits that will emulate Jesus, for he is our forerunner. Jesus, even it talks about when he was like 12, you know, even in when he had such a conviction and such a heart for God, the Father, that he lived his life with his eyes focused on his one thing, with his eyes focused on God, and with that heart devotion, that heart connection. So get your heart in a place where it is connected with the want to, the desire, the hunger and thirst after God, after a relationship with God. We can talk about it, can sing about it, we can search for it, but that want to has to be developed in your heart. That want to, that desire, the passion, the drive, the hunger and the thirst, all of that you have to cultivate that. You have to ask for it. You have to want it more than anything else. The more you want it, the more you're going to receive of it. And then it starts this avalanche. That's kind of a violent word, but it is a violence. It's a spiritual violence that happens in your heart, that the passion in you just begins to well up so strong that everything else pales. All other desires pale. So let that violence happen. Encourage it. Ask for it. In John 4:34, says, Jesus said to them, my food, I love this verse. The first time I really got it was like, oh my word, I want that. I want that. It says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work. My food. What does food do for us? If you're not just eating ice cream and cookies, food actually nourishes us, doesn't it? It grows us into adulthood. It grows us. It nourishes us. It comforts us. You know, it's not a good comforting usually, but spiritual food comforts us. So his food. Jesus loved his Father. Number three there. Jesus loved his Father with abandonment, and every move he made was with the Father's will in mind. He loved it so much that it was like food, nourishing and sustaining his spirit. That kind of food sustains your spirit. All my life, I had knowledge of the Word and knowledge of God, but very little relationship. I didn't have a clue how to do that. Sustaining, I was treading water. and wasn't swimming very well, but I was treading water. And there was no growth, no strength happening in me. I stayed that way for most all of my life until about 2005. And then things started to click with me, and I started getting it, and my food changed. And it started, the Holy Spirit started to nourish me and to sustain, that sustaining. So it, to do the will, so to have the doing the will of God, to have that be your food, think about that for a minute. That means you're so confident of God's will that his will in every area of your life is good and it's out for your benefit, that it's out of love. He knows what's best for you, and you need to be able to discern his will from the enemy's schemes. We often get them confused, or our own will often gets in the way. So then we think it's all God, and he couldn't, you know, how could a God like that be loving and kind? So we have all this confusion going on about what is God's will. That, so discernment needs to happen. So our growth needs to happen to the place where we discern God's will. We have to know his character in order to discern. Knowing his character is part of it. I never knew and was convinced of God's amazing character. If you start looking at the fruit of the Spirit and reading about God's character, not just about how, I mean, he is mighty and holy and his robe fills the temple and all those things. Those are amazing. And he does signs and wonders, and those are all things about him. It's information about him. It's not about his character. We need to look at God's character and be so convinced of that, that his heart for you is good, that he created you out of perfect love, that he is compassionate, merciful God, that he his heart is to raise you up to be who he created you to be, that every move, everything that he does is with that calculated purpose to raise you up into a place of strength so that your faith and confidence in him will be sustained. You'll have a sustained relationship with him that grows, that doesn't just tread water. And that's when you can, when you reach that place, when you start to walk in that place, you realize you live in Psalm 91 then. You know, you come under his wing and everything begins to fall in place. So in number three there, this is pure. So my food is to do the will. This is pure, unhindered obedience. We have a lot of hindrances to being obedient to God. Our self-will gets in the way, but it's when we don't understand his will. And sometimes his will doesn't look logical to us. And it doesn't feel safe, or it doesn't, you know, our self-control wants to come in and make us safe, make us noticed, make us rich, make us whatever. You know, we start pursuing those things that we think will bring joy and happiness. Jesus had unhindered obedience. He was so confident that Papa's will was good and was best that he had unhindered obedience. In order to have this heart attitude, there must be total conviction in our spirit that God is trustworthy. In that place, we are able. So when we're convinced that God is trustworthy, then we are able to humble ourselves and submit to that will, no matter what it looks like. And it will look, he'll take you through steps of, you've all been here, walking you and growing your faith and confidence that he is trustworthy. And that's kind of scary when you start to step out in that kind of thing, but he will not fail you. You step out in faith and God will meet you God is trustworthy. And in that place, we are able to humble ourselves and live for his glory and not our own. Jesus so trusted his Father that he completely surrendered his will, even unto death. In the garden there in Luke, it talks about Jesus was in the garden. He was just before he was going to be crucified, and he was praying so much so and agonizing over that he was sweat with blood in it was coming out of him, and the agony, the anguish of what he was going to face there was weighing heavily on him. And he said, in that place, he said, "Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me." That was not his. I can't imagine. The one who is without sin knew that he would have to take on the sin of the whole world, past, present, and future. I mean, that's weighty. And he had to be so convinced of Father's will and his goodness and his purposes that that he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine." He humbled himself and went there with God. And look at what happened. He nailed all judgment, all decrees that the enemy ever held or could hold against us who've accepted the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior. He nailed them to the cross and rendered them null and void. There's power in obedience. Our will needs to be in alignment with the Father's will, and we need to trust him that much. Jesus was our example, and the payoff was huge. Spirit of wisdom. So the Spirit resting upon him, that's cultivating a heart. There's much more you can go into about cultivating a heart position that would invite resting, the Spirit to rest upon you. So I just picked that verse because it's such an amazing example of what needs to happen. You know, the more radical we are sold out to God, the more radical he meets us. The Spirit of wisdom is the knowledge and the ability to make right choices at the opportune time. It is a place of maturity and development. Trusting the Lord's wisdom is at times difficult for us because it doesn't always line up with our human logic and is often based on wounded and distorted thinking. Walking in the Spirit of wisdom is something to be sought after, for it is the pathway to all attributes of the Holy Spirit. It is wisdom to seek wisdom. Wisdom also involves creative acts of God. As God created, he had perfect wisdom in what he created. So the creative acts of God involved came from that place of wisdom. He knew when to do it and how to do it. And that's wisdom. He knew how to make the proper decisions, when to make them, and so how to create and what to create so that it would be perfect. Wisdom is something that we need more of. We tend to fly by the seat of our pants half the time. You know, we just wing it and hope for the best. But the Lord wants to grow wisdom in us so that we're acting and reacting out of a place of wisdom rather than guessing and trying to figure it out, or our own wisdom, which is often clouded. The spirit of understanding, the act of understanding. So the spirit of understanding is the act of understanding. It's to perceive with the mind rather than relying on emotions. Wouldn't that be awesome? We often, we think our emotions determine truth, And as I've said before, emotions so do not determine truth. What is true is what God says is true. The Bible says, the Lord says, I, the Lord, determine what is truth. Not our emotions, not how we feel about something, because we will be misled if we rely on unhealthy emotions that come from woundedness. There is no way around mind renewal. Fortunately, the Lord is good at finding ways to reveal truth and heal our hurt emotions, which result in faulty thinking. When we have taken the mind of Christ, on the mind of Christ, our understanding will increase and line up with his perspective. In 1 Corinthians 2:13, it says, we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. You possess the Holy Spirit. If you've got Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit. That understanding, so he's saying we're setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit. That's spiritual understanding coming to him because of his relationship with the Lord. He's seeking that relationship, and that understanding comes when you're connected to the Holy Spirit and he's resting upon you. You get understanding of spiritual things, which on our carnal minds are like way out there. I didn't have a clue about the Holy Spirit. I knew he existed, and I knew about the Trinity and all that, but I didn't realize I had, seriously, I thought all the demons were in Africa, and all the Holy Spirit was just a deposit, like he was like our ticket into heaven. And I was so blinded by religion that was sort of went so far, and that's all. And to wake up and find that there's a Holy Spirit that's a person that loves to engage and loves to have relationship, and all, it's just been feeling like I've come out of a coma almost. You know, it's so different. It's mind changing and life transforming. So wake up the Holy, you know, he's awake, but wake up your spirit to get in connection with the Holy Spirit, because he wants to dance with you. He wants to sing. He wants to do spiritual things. He wants to give you spiritual truths. He wants to give you understanding, because that's what he is. He is understanding. He is wisdom. He is these things. This is who he is. And so he wants to share those things with you. So it takes relationship and maturity and growth to be able to walk in that. And the more you do, the more you're going to get. It's like he'll always be feeding into you because you're always drawing on him. Get hungry. In 1 Corinthians 2:13, I read that. Let's go to the spirit of counsel. The spirit of counsel is sound advice. It's also a place of discernment. To be able to receive the counsel of the Lord, we must know his voice. If you're not already, you need to go to Roy's classes and learn to hear the Lord, learn how to receive. You need, we want to listen to God. We want his counsel. It doesn't feel like it a lot of times, but I find that last year was a good example for us. For our whole family, the Lord taught us a lot last year because of the struggles with our business and the struggles with Crystal and her health and issues with me and just our boys. And through that whole time, what seemed logical and with the natural mind, what seemed like wise and logical decisions, much to our own amazement, we would do things like go on a vacation when we had no money coming in and little in the bank. But go ahead and go on a vacation that we had planned a year earlier. And the Lord just, like, we were like amazed that we would do that. But it so witnessed with our hearts. And every time we'd take it to the Lord, God, are we being foolish here? We would hear him chuckle. You know, trust me, because my wisdom is like foolishness to the wise man. So we did many of those kinds of things. And he really taught us that we truly can trust his wisdom. And it doesn't always look like ours. And that's a good thing. Because when you walk through something like that with him, you come out on the other side and you see how amazing he is. It just, all those things. When we got on the other side of that vacation and down the road a bit and just watched him provide for our family and bring healing to Crystal, bring, you know, when amazing things that happen. We get down on the other side of it and you look back and you can only give God glory. You can only. So don't be afraid to be foolish with, you know, don't be afraid to look foolish or be criticized for some of the things that you know is God. Make sure you know. You need that discernment. Make sure you know that it's him. If it's him, don't be afraid to go there with him because he'll meet you. And then you'll look back and say, oh, my goodness, you're so awesome. So awesome. What it does is it just confirms what you're learning to believe. It grows your faith. When you step out like that into things that are out of your control and you know that you can do nothing about it. I mean, we had a big job that we've been working on for 2 years. Is that about right? About 2 years. Promises and talk and all that. And it took months then, once that got more serious, it took like 6 or 7 months for that to actually come into an order. 9 months. And that just happened about 2 weeks, or last week, 2 weeks ago, that we actually got the order. The Lord kept telling us to prepare for rain. Prepare for rain. So in our shop, Chris, they cleaned out the shop and they got everything, threw out everything, that took back stuff that we didn't need, that we had overbought from the last job. We did all kinds of stuff. We kept hearing, prepare for rain, prepare for rain. It so didn't look like rain because our bank accounts were done. And it was just the most bizarre time I think I've walked through. Last year was. And the week that we are like, okay, we are at the end of us. Crystal's out of money. Andrea's out of money. We're out of money. I mean, we've been out of money. God just kept providing. And but the business then was like drained. Credit cards maxed out. I'll just tell you, credit cards were maxed out. And we only did that because we had land. We'd been trying to sell our land for 2 years. To pay the bill. It wasn't selling. 2 weeks ago, we sold the land and landed the job within 2 days of each other. It was just God. And we look back on that saying, how amazing. And we even felt foolish in some of the things that we, so your feel, that's an example where your feelings don't determine what is true. So discernment. Because we knew we were hearing prepare for rain. And we've had we are landing like 4 jobs now. Not just that one came through. The next week, another one. We had people from Mexico. This is getting off a little bit. But people from Mexico called and said, we're going to be in your shop in the next week. They called like on Friday. We're coming in on Monday. That happened 2 weeks in a row. 2 different companies. And so it's like four jobs have in 4 weeks have come in, and we're like, our head is spinning, and every one of them that come into the shop now say they're very impressed with the shop because it's well organized, it looks clean. If they would have seen it a few months ago, they would have thought, oh my, you know, but we prepared for rain, and God's blessing it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The spirit of counsel. Okay, so that Matthew 11:5. Did I? There, number six there. Let me read that. Sorry, got off. There are many voices, including our own, that try to speak into our lives. Sometimes we have trouble discerning what is truth. Be careful what voices you listen to. Deception is a powerful tool that the enemy wields and with great skill. And his goal is to confuse every act of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit speaks into our lives. We must be careful as to the voices we will allow to speak to us. The Lord's counsel is always right and will bring the right outcome. It won't always sound right, but it is always right, and it will bring a right outcome. So you need discernment on what the Lord, what is of him, what is your own flesh or somebody else's flesh rising up to tell you. When I can't tell you, a lot of people were confused about us last year. We were confused about us, but we knew what we heard. We were confident in what we heard from the Lord. And that takes a bit of pushing through because it doesn't line up with logic or earth, are what we think of is our wisdom. The spirit of strength, spiritual power or physical strength beyond your own ability. I see this a lot in my walk with the Lord because of all the physical stuff I struggle with. I can press through, and it's not, and the Lord told me to quit pressing on my own physical. Because I know how to push me. I've learned over the years how to push my body and make it do what I want to do. By the end of that, I am so exhausted that it will take me 2 days to recover. So yesterday, I had a long session with someone. And it was like a deliverance session, inner healing and deliverance. It was long and hours, like 6 hours, and I'm up here today feeling like I'm my normal self, and I wasn't exhausted last night. It's amazing, and I know that's God. I know, because he told me, Londa, you quit pushing. I want you to give up your 'cause I was doing it on my own strength and tenacity. I have a lot of tenacity, and it sometimes works in a not a good way. I thought it was good because I was pushing through and doing the Lord's work, right? Well, he's saying, no, I want you to not do that. I want you to let go of pushing, and I will carry you. That was another scary thing God asked me to do, but I went there with him because I trust him. I trust him. So he often puts me in that position. There is a confidence in the strength of the Lord and not of our own that we need to embrace. Whatever the Lord asks of us, he will empower us to do it. He will give you the spiritual strength, the spiritual know-how, and the physical strength to do whatever he asks you to do. If you're getting weary and tired of ministry, if you're getting weary or tired, if you know that you have a bit kingdom business, then there's something not right. There's something, it's either spiritual boredom, or you've gotten, you're working on your own strength somewhere, you're not resting, Holy Spirit's not resting on you, you need to find out what that is. If you're constantly being wearied and exhausted, I have to do this a lot because the physical wearies, the fighting of chronic fatigue and pain wearies my spirit. It does. I get tired. I get tired of feeling all this stuff on me. And he's training me to constantly be before him. God, this, you know, you said. So I take the word, what he's told me in the word. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. Or, you know, he will be my strength. I take those and I declare them over me. And I stand on the truth and I choose to believe it in spite of pain and fatigue or spiritual. And so I offer then the weariness to him and I ask him to take it and speak into me. And it always flees and he speaks in and I like feel, I'm like back to me. You know, but I have to do that a lot. That's one where I have... you know, he trains you in what seems mundane. So to me, that's a mundane thing. That because it's always with me. So the pain and fatigue is like a mundane, like something you could get. Because in my past, I just accepted it and thought it was part of my identity. That's who I am. And that's such a big lie. That is not who I am. It is not my identity. And I don't have to live in it. I don't have to live in the... Now, it's... I feel it, but I don't let it control... I don't... the Holy Spirit takes it in a way that he lifts the weariness. He lifts the oppression off of me. And so let him be your strength. Let him be that for you. Philippians 4:13, it says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength to me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. The spirit of knowledge. In the highest sense, the knowledge of God, it's the knowledge of him. The spirit of knowledge is knowing God. It's a knowing, a heart connection, knowing. It's difficult to place your trust, and it includes in obedience. Because if you know him, you want to obey him. Obedience is big with the Lord. The word says, if you love me, you'll obey me. It's connected to love. It is difficult to place your trust in and obedient to God if we mostly know about him. We must come to know him on a heart level that comes out of relationship. But once we know him and come to trust his character, we will act in obedience because we will have a knowing that all his ways are perfect and obedience to him is a safe place. Last year, the enemy wanted to tell us that was not safe to go on vacation, or that Crystal wasn't safe when she was near death, or that the business was not safe because we had no jobs, no money. And we kept hearing the Lord say, prepare for rain, go on vacation, she's fine. You know, when she was in the hospital, I had such a peace and they were amazed that she was even walking, let alone being alive. And my iPod, which never, I mean, I click out of, so if I have it on music, I click out of music and I will turn it off and I put it in a padded case. So there's no way I can bump it because I don't want to break it. They're expensive. And so I had it in my purse. Chris and I were on the way. We had just left the hospital. She's on her about fifth pint of blood by then. And her boys were coming, and we were going to trade places. And Chris goes, how do you have that peace? How do you do that? And all of a sudden, he's like rolling down his window, and he sticks his head out the window. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he goes, I hear something. And so then I started to hear it. And I roll down my window, and I'm sticking, and it's not outside. And so our windows go back up, and the music gets louder and louder. And pretty soon I realize it's my purse, and it's playing It Is Well With My Soul. Is well with my soul. I just burst into tears. You know, God, you're so amazing. So amazing. That was the week before we went on vacation that she nearly died. And 1 week later, we're in Myrtle Beach, and she's just fine. 6 pints of blood, but she's just fine. The doctor said, go. All right, we did. Had a good time. John 17:3. And this is eternal life. It means to know and perceive, recognize, become acquainted with, and understand you, the only true and real God, and likewise to know him, Jesus, as the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, whom you have sent. Know him. Know him. I don't care what it takes. Know him. The fear of the Lord is the reverential trust that demands obedience, includes hating what God hates. Come to hate what he hates. Obedience is a small thing to ask. Because, how can he fail us? He's perfect. He's perfect. He loves you with a passionate, the cross, he paid for you. He saw you as so valuable that he went to the cross and bought, he paid the price for your value. He established your value for all eternity. You get that? You're that valuable. How can he not care for you? Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord. And all that he did, in every act, thought he did out of pure love for the Father, discerning his will, Jesus lived a life of no regrets. I want that. I already have regrets, but I want to live the rest of my life with no regrets. There is purpose in every single thing that, I almost said thing, every single thing that God, that Father asks us to do. In Luke 9:23, and he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse to give up himself, refuse and give up himself, and to take up his cross daily and to follow, cleave steadfastly to me, to conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. The cross represents giving up the flesh. To pick up your cross and carry it is giving up. You've died to the flesh. You need to let the flesh go. That selfishness, the self-promotion, the self-protection, even so, God's asking me, give up your need to run on your own strength. You know, even that came out of my fear or concern that he's not enough. He wants to be enough. He wants everything. And when I look at what he gave, what a small thing that we give him. Small thing. When we let go of our flesh, when we are obedient, when we love him, so compared to him and what he did, it's so small. And he loves it. He'll take it. That's all he wants. It's all he wants from you. He just wants your love. And he wants you to know him as Father, that he's good, and you can trust him with all of you. And in that place, you're safe. You're under his wing. You're abiding under his wing. There's some really cool verses here that I just wanted to read real quick, and I know it's a lot of reading, but they're awesome. In Proverbs, it says, now in Proverbs 8, it says, "Now, therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." This is talking about wisdom. If you want favor from the Lord, search out wisdom, which is, in a minute you're going to see. You're going to see this come full circle here. Wisdom draws favor of the Lord. He'll notice you in greater measure. He notices you, and you're valuable to him, no matter who you are. But there's a favor that comes. And I want to draw that. Make your ear, in Proverbs 2, it says, "Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search her for her as hidden treasures." This is if you know there's a hidden treasure in your backyard, you're going to dig. Start digging. Start digging. Holy Spirit wants you to, he wants you to dig. He wants you to go after it. He wants you to desire and get passionate. "Then you will discern the fear of the Lord." So if you find wisdom and understanding, you're going to discern the fear of the Lord and discover knowledge of God. "For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield for those who walk in integrity." So this is talking about righteousness here. God's protection is not promised if you're walking in sin, if you're walking in disobedience. This is talking about right relationship with him. Then he is a shield to you, and he will guard your path of justice. He preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern the righteousness and justice and equity and every good course, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to you. So these are promises. This whole thing is a big promise. It will happen. Discernment will, discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil. This is all from the Spirit of the Lord resting on you. So if you turn towards wisdom, all these things start falling in place. Because is it wise? What would wisdom do for you here? It is wise to seek the counsel of God. It is wise to lean on his knowledge. It is wise to lead into his strength. Do you see that? So wisdom, in Proverbs 8:12, it says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." That's hating what God hates. "Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding and power is mine. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me." You will find. If you're seeking, you'll find. If you're digging, you're going to find him. It's a promise. "Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than the choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness." It's wisdom. Wisdom will cause you to walk in the way of righteousness. "In the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries." This is awesome stuff. It's powerful promises. Get your shovels out. Dig deeper. All right. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So the first Okay, when it talks in Isaiah about the seven spirits of God, which is the fullness of God, it starts with the Spirit resting, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. But then the first thing it says is wisdom. The first one listed is wisdom. And the last one listed is the fear of the Lord. And right here it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a big circle. And if you start at the top or the bottom, doesn't matter, everything else is going to fall in line. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So learn to walk in the fear of the Lord. This is what Jesus was food to him, that obedience. The fear of the Lord is that reverential trust, that you trust God with all that you are, without any hesitation. Jesus trusted the Father and was perfectly obedient. We want that. And we can. Those promises are for us. So, Father, I just bless everybody here. I bless them with big shovels and the want to dig deeper, God. I just ask that you put the fear of the Lord in each one of us in even greater measure, God. I thank you that everything else will fall in place as we seek you out. You are faithful to satisfy. So I speak blessing over you, over every one of you and your day, in Jesus' name.